Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
Hey, we are so glad that you joined us today.
Yes, we are.
I'm Puma.
Yep.
This is Tori. And we are just very happy to be back with you and wondering where winter went.
I know.
I mean, it comes in little moments, but then it leaves again. And I'm honestly in denial that it's spring. So that's just kind of my personal issue. It's probably a sin issue for me, but it's okay.
Well, I mean, my theory, which is super bad theology on this, but if hell is going to be like fire, isn't heaven going to be like a winter wonderland? I mean...
no, I very much think that,
Snowball?
We're going to be,
I mean, that's not true, probably. But anyway, yes, I do like the winter, and April's here. And you know what? That's okay, except for tax day. April 15th. I'm going to share a story to kind of introduce this, if that's all right. Is that okay, Puma?
Well, I'm sure. I probably can't stop you, so go ahead.
I guess I could always edit this out, which I'm not going to do. But yeah, so taxes. For those of you who pay taxes and have to do your, you know, W forms and all that stuff, well, there was a time a few years back where I was like, you know what, I'm going to do this early. I'm going to fill out my, you know, taxes, you know, H&R Block, and I'm going to do that before like March. And I was like, dead set. As soon as I get it, you know, end of January, February, I'm doing it. So I did. I got my paperwork all ready to go. I was single at the time. And I submit it, you know, to H&R Block. And I get this thing, like, a thing came up and says, you've already filed your taxes this year. And so whatever you typed in is no longer valid. I'm like, what? Like, I'm early. There's no way I've already done my taxes. Like, it's the first week of February. So I try again, and same thing. You know, you've already, you know, received your tax return. You've already done all this stuff. You can no longer resubmit your taxes. And I'm like, so confused. So I called. Turns out somebody else had stolen my identity, my socials, and had already filed my taxes and already received the tax return. Which, by the way, in February, that's super early. I don't know how you get your tax return from the federal anyway, back that soon. I was so confused. Someone has stolen my identity. And if you've ever had that feeling before, it is awful. When someone else has your...
And so what you need to do is just forget about it, go on with your life. That's exactly how you respond, right?
Yeah, no.
Oh, you didn't?
Well, I was like, okay, it's like a couple $100, but still, I'm like, someone has my identity. The money wasn't the issue. It was someone else out there is pretending to be me, and that is not okay. And it was a hassle. I mean, to try to change and find out who... I mean, they couldn't find the person, but that year, I didn't get my tax return, and... You know, I resubmitted it and there's a whole process, but that feeling of something's wrong and I don't know what to do about it is awful.
Something is wrong and you need to get it fixed.
Yes.
And it needs to be made right.
Yes.
You're not content until it is.
No. Yeah. Even sleeping at night, knowing someone else has my identity, has my social, like the fear of like what that means. Like, yeah, there's no way I was relaxing. That was a very stressful February. You know, long story short, it got fixed. I'm not sure how they did that, but eventually, you know, canceled the other person. And but also to say, when things are not right, when there's something undone, there should be a really awful feeling. But on the flip side, suppose I filed my taxes and someone had already stolen my identity and I didn't know about it. I probably wouldn't care to get it fixed because I would be oblivious to that.
Yeah, if you don't know that someone is out there pretending to be you and taking out all kinds of loans and stealing your money and all kinds of stuff, if you're unaware of it, you're not really bent out of shape about it. You're not seeking to get it fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, is that kind of sort of what this next blessing is that you and I enjoy in Christ that maybe we don't realize or we didn't realize?
Yeah, I would say this particular thing we're about to talk about only makes sense when we realize the weight behind it. I think a lot of people, this word we're about to talk about, doesn't make sense. Oh yeah, that's a cool word. Sure, it's biblical. Sure, in Christ we have this, but... it doesn't mean anything, and it's mostly because we're ignorant. We don't realize how important this word is. So, should we talk about it?
I think we should.
Let's dive in.
Okay.
Okay, Puma, what's the word?
Well, the word, I'm not going to say what the word is just yet.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're talking about who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ, and we kind of launched, you know, the series with Ephesians chapter 1, which says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ."
That's crazy.
That every blessing that God has for us comes to us because of Jesus, who we are in Christ. And this mm-hmm. really forms our identity. And,
yeah.
you know, so we've talked a lot about our identity, who I am, who I believe myself to be, influences everything about me.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of like your story with the IRS, you know, with the whole tax thing, if you don't realize that someone has stolen your identity, then you don't know that anything really needs to be fixed.
Right. You feel like life's good, even yeah. if it's not.
Yeah, I think that life is good. I want to read some verses from 2 Corinthians, and this is, you know, the Bible has so many amazing things, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul wrote these words. He says, "From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," and again, it says in Christ, because
in Christ.
Of Christ, through Christ. "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God."
Wow.
Now, Tori, you are a good Bible student. And one of the, you know, tips in really studying the Bible is noticing or recognizing maybe words or phrases that are repeated over and over again. Is there anything in these verses that you might have heard repeated? And if something is repeated over and again, probably it's something important.
Yeah, I would say there's two kind of phrases. One that you mentioned is in Christ.
In Christ. Yep.
In Christ is repeated many
yep.
times.
Yep.
And the other one is reconciled. Be reconciled. God has reconciled you. The ministry of reconciliation.
Reconciliation. Reconciled.
That is our word.
That is our word. So what does reconciled mean?
Reconciled?
I mean, when have you used that in a sentence like recently?
Well, other than recently for this podcast, almost never.
Almost never.
Yeah. I mean, to be reconciled though, I mean, I guess the Webster's definition, right? I mean, the idea of restoring, bringing something back to fullness, goodness. Something was broken and now has been restored. You have been it has been made right.
It's been made right, yeah. So you think you have $1,000 in the bank and the bank sends you a statement, so there's only $100 in your account. They are not in alignment or agreement. They are not reconciled.
Yeah.
And so what do you want to do? You want to fix it,
right?
You want to bring what the bank says you have and what you think you have. You want to bring those together so that you're both on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone's claiming to be Tori Slippy, and they're not them. I want that to be reconciled.
You want your identity to be reconciled. All right. You have a broken bone, right? So there's something wrong there, and it hurts, and you want it to be made right. And so until they actually set it and align it and make it right, your bone's not reconciled.
Yeah.
Usually when something's not reconciled, there's pain there. There's something that's off, and you feel it, and you want it to be fixed.
Yeah. Yep, dislocations.
Yeah.
I mean, a big, for me personally, but yeah, you just get your shoulder. Well, you look mostly the same. Well, until it's made right, you're in a lot of pain and you can't function as you should.
Right. Well, when it comes to this concept of being reconciled with God in Christ, what that implies a couple things. What does it imply, Tori?
Well, if something, being humans, need to be reconciled, that means we need to be made right. That kind of assumes something's wrong. So there's an issue.
There's an issue. But what is it that needs to be reconciled between us and God? I mean, what is God wanting to reconcile?
Our sin.
He wants to get rid of our sin. The sin is what is created the problem.
The barrier.
The problem. Yeah, when you know, you and I are both married, and on occasion, we probably have had a fight with our spouse, right?
On occasion, yeah.
Yeah, you know, or, you know, if you're not married and you just like with a friend or with a family member, when you and someone that, you know, you care about, when you guys are having a fight or when you're off, are you okay with that? Do you just kind of let it go, or do you want to fix the problem, so that the relationship can be reconciled?
Yeah.
So the relationship can be brought back together.
Yes.
You see, when it says that we have been reconciled to God in Christ. This is something that God has done to us. Mm. One of the blessings that you and I enjoy because of our faith in Jesus Christ is that we now are reconciled to God. Mm. In other words, God desires a relationship with you and me and with people so much that he's made it possible for the relationship between him and sinful men to be reconciled or be brought back together.
Wow.
What's amazing about that is before I met Jesus, I didn't even know that I was in pain relationally estranged from God.
That's true.
I mean, right. God was in pain in his love for mankind. I mean, you read the Bible that God loves mankind so much that he cannot not let us continue as we are and go. I mean, the whole point of the Bible is God's desire to rescue us or make right that which is wrong, the sin that has separated us from God.
Yeah.
You know, this idea of reconciliation just screams how much God loves mankind, loves you and me, and values a relationship with us. So much so that he wants to fix it. He wants to reconcile the relationship with us that's broke.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing too, because this word reconciliation, you're right, it does assume a highly relational thing between us and God. Also, it assumes that we have sin. There's a barrier that needs to be reconciled. But the third part, like you mentioned, like God wants this. We don't reconcile ourselves. God reconciles us to himself.
And what's amazing is before people met Jesus, and so many people walking around on earth today, they don't realize. See, when you realize that your identity is stolen, you want to do whatever you can to fix it.
Yeah, it's a big
when
deal.
I realize that the bank in my checking account have very different numbers, I cannot rest until it's fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole world is estranged from God because of their sin. Mankind is estranged, and people don't even feel the pain of that.
Yeah.
And this is part of the blindness of sin, that we don't feel the pain of our sin. And the greatest pain of our sin is that we are estranged from the God who created us, the God who knows us, the God who loves us, the God who wants this relationship with us. Mm-hmm. That's part of the blindness of sin. I mean, you know, that sin blinds us from the relational pain that we actually are truly experiencing and feeling. Yeah. We just can't identify it, that it is actually pain that comes from being estranged from God.
Well, and the stakes are so much higher. I mean, again, my story. Okay, my social's been taken. That's scary. I'm not getting certain money back. Okay, but that's nothing compared to the eternal separation from God.
Yeah, I mean, to be estranged from God has eternal consequences,
right.
But they also have temporal consequences today.
That's true.
I mean, the loss of peace, the loss of joy, the sense of hopelessness, and all the things that mankind experiences today all goes back because we are estranged from and we are not in right relationship with God.
Correct.
And this is, you know, when Paul writes here that, you know, he says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Before I met Jesus, how did I view Jesus? As not important.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Not God, not valuable,
yeah,
I mean, the Savior.
My perspective of Jesus, my perspective of God, and my understanding that I need God was, I mean, it's like, why should I be, you know, I'm driving here, right? I'm driving to the little studio here in your house, right? I'm on my way here, and someone cuts me off. Do I feel like I need to be reconciled to that stranger, that person? No. Why? Because I don't have a relationship with them, nor did I feel like I should have a relationship with them, nor, you know, so I'm not really concerned with that.
Right.
And this is the indifference that sin does to us and blinds us
to
the understanding that we really are estranged from God and need to be fixed.
Yeah. Well, even love too, right? I heard what professor said, I can't remember, but he said, you know, the opposite of love isn't hate. Because actually, if you hate something, it's because you love something, right? The opposite of love is apathy. And the worldly people, like in this first verse, 16 here? Yeah, 16 and 17. I mean, we definitely had a worldly perspective. We were apathetic. We may not hate Jesus, but we don't care about him, you know? And there's a lack of love on our part. And that's what's crazy, Puma, because we could care less. We might not even know about who God is. And yet God said, no, you sinful, worldly people are worth reconciling to myself.
Yeah. the relationship that God desires with you and I is something of great value to him. So much so that he is seeking and wanting and doing all that is necessary for us to be made right with him, which is, it is amazing. I mean, what a blessing that is when I am not aware of my need for him, but he is acutely aware of it and working and has done everything that is needed for that.
Yes.
It is all because of Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, listen to what he says here. You know, he says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry, the opportunity, ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. And this is amazing, not counting men's sins against them.
Wow.
Now, why is he not counting men's sins against them? Because verse 21 says, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
You know, my sin is the problem, and it has to be fixed, and I can't fix it. But in Christ, Christ who took my place, took my sin upon himself, and in exchange gave me his righteousness so that the relationship that I must, have that I need with a holy God, a righteous God, is I have to be holy and righteous, but I can't. But God, you know, not counting my sin against me, he credits it to Christ's account.
Yeah.
And so that my account now is clean.
Yeah.
Well, it's been reconciled.
A few weeks ago, we talked about, you know, there's no condemnation, forgiveness. I mean, the God of the Bible is not apathetic toward mankind, that there is a sincere value, a worthiness he sees in people because of, he made us in his image, right? But what amazes me is that we are so nonchalant about Jesus, and he is so invested. It's one thing to rescue something that brings value. I mean, like, okay, yeah, I say I'm driving down, you know, the freeway, and I drop my phone out the window. Oh, no, that's my phone. I want to go grab that. That's important to me. But if I'm driving down the freeway and I drop trash out the window, I'm not going to pull over because it doesn't mean anything to me. Okay, I don't want to litter, but, like, I'm not going to pull
the
car over.
It has no value to you, right?
And yet, just the sheer irony, the people that were evil and wrong and sinned against Jesus, we were lost. We threw ourselves out the window, and he pulled over, took on traffic to go find the people that ran and hurt and abused him. That is love. To be reconciled to someone that is a sinner, to someone who's perfect, for God who is perfect to reconcile himself to sinful mankind, especially when we don't care about him. I mean, that... what kind of love does that?
Yeah, all the things that are true of you and I because of who we are in Christ, all these, you know, topics that we're talking about on these podcasts, our identity in Christ, they all just create this amazing mosaic picture of how much God cares about us and loves us.
Yeah.
That God values a relationship with you, Tori. God values a relationship with me. God values a relationship with everyone that will ever listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
So much so that he has provided a way for the relationship between him, a holy God, and us sinful men to be possible. Yeah. He has reconciled us to himself in Christ. That is amazing. Even when I was blind to that, even when I didn't care about it, even when I didn't realize that I didn't need it, he has provided that for me. And when I trusted Christ as Savior, who I now am in Christ, I am reconciled to God. It's an amazing, it's an amazing truth.
Yeah. Who doesn't want a friend who doesn't hold their sin against them? I mean, who doesn't want a friend who is so quick to move in our direction when we've run away from him? You know, I'm going to reconcile you to myself despite you, even when you've sinned against me. I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm making the choice to, you're my kid, right? In Christ, we are God's children, and he has made a way to reconcile our sinful human self to an almighty holy God. That's incredible.
It is. So there are many takeaways from from all of these truths. I mean, it's not like everything just kind of stands alone. It's all part, like you talk about, I mean, the fact that we're reconciled also highlights that we're no longer condemned, which highlights that we're forgiven. I mean, it all is one beautiful picture. We're kind of piecing off a part of a beautiful picture. But what is a good, like, application, you know, to understanding that we are reconciled to Christ? You know, I don't. What would you say, Tori? You got something there?
Yeah, you know, we talked about it before the podcast, and I think one of the things that highlights just this particular aspect of who we are in Christ, we are reconciled, not by us, the Lord, God reconciled through Jesus, which gives incredible value to us. So I think one of the AQs is, what is hindering you from seeing how much God cherishes you and his relationship with you? I mean, Jesus loves you. And that's a big, maybe general word.
Right. Something that we really take for granted.
Yeah.
Does Jesus love me? Well, of course. Of course. Yeah. I know that.
But what is hindering your walk with God that makes you not want to cherish that? I mean, Jesus wants a relationship with you. Do you see that? You know, are we ignorant to the fact that God loves us so much? Because love changes people. And I think for me, even just Torah confession session, I so often easily abuse the love of God. I take it for granted. I don't thank him for it. I almost assume it because he gives it so, he's so rich in mercy and, you know, everlasting love. Hased is just so, he's so full of love that it's so easy for me to not be grateful. And I think there are other things that I am grateful for, which honestly are idols.
Yeah. And even, you know, Paul talks about here, just even like a practical thing. You know, when we have understood and experienced the reconciliation relationally between mm-hmm. us and God, that he says he gives us the ministry of sharing that with other people as if we're his ambassador. You know, it's like a family, you know, a parent and a child have a good relationship, but that, you know, child has a sibling who does not have a good relationship with the parent.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if your brother or your sister does not have a good relationship with a parent, you want to help them, you know, restore that relationship. In other words, you know, in a world where people don't even realize that they're estranged from God and don't realize the maybe the internal pains that they feel, and they attribute that to other things, don't realize that the core of that is because they are they're estranged from God. That God has given us the ministry of reconciliation to share that with people.
Yeah.
You know, there is a God who knows you and loves you and does not want to count your sin against you because your sin separates you from him. And he's done this through Jesus. And, and see, this is, again, why we share Jesus with people, right?
Yeah, the gospel is important.
Because we love Jesus and we love people and we want people to see how much Jesus loves them.
But this is how cool and crazy, if I can respectfully crazy, God is. He looks at mankind and says, I want you on my team. In fact, I believe that you can share the gospel, share the ministry of reconciliation, to share the good news with people. So I'm going to gift you this responsibility, this ministry of helping people see how much they need me, which means God believes in us. He invites us onto his team, which gives incredible value to people.
Yeah. Yeah, it just, the ripple effects keep going, and we probably need to wrap this podcast up, but we could go,
I mean,
you know, I'm just thinking through all kinds of different passages and things that all kind of tie in together.
Yeah.
But we are so glad that you joined us today, and, you know, we're talking about who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ, and, you know, Ephesians 1, we have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. If you know Jesus as Savior, everything, all the blessings that God has for you, you already possess.
Yeah.
Do you realize that this is who you are in Christ? And so we want to help encourage you to that and to live that out today. And so thankful that you joined us today.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, guys. And thank you, Puma. Because, you know, there are things that hinder our appreciation and love for the Lord. And man, in Christ, we have we are so blessed, and we should cherish that. You know, we should be grateful to rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice, you know, as the Bible says, we want to do that. So yeah, that's good. Thank you, Puma. And thank you guys for joining us. It was just fun to reconnect with a few of you guys a little bit ago. And, you know, I'm surprised and honored that you guys would listen in. But, you know, really, I am just so blessed. We feel so blessed that God has allowed us to even talk about his word. Mm. His word is worth sharing. And we just appreciate you guys joining us on this journey as we continue to talk about Jesus' life and everything in between, including the promises of who we are in Christ. If you have any questions, as always, you can email us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. And we'll see you guys next time, Fridays at 10:10. Till then, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.